Yeah, yesterday I experienced during the meditation a shifting between anxiety and somewhat fear and fearlessness. I realized that I was going deeper into a problem that I also face in my everyday life. Sometimes I get this anxiety, seems to coming out of nowhere, and sometimes I feel, yeah, absolutely nearly fearless for even very difficult situations. So I hope that you could give me some truth about that, and also how I can work with it in daily life when I experience it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fear is the universal condition. Virtually everyone, unless they're very deeply rooted within, experiences some form of fear. There are different forms of fear, anxiety, even stress is a form of fear, stress of, I'm not going to get there in time. Nervousness, and more extreme forms, up to panic, dread. Most pain bodies contain, I would say really, every pain body contains fear as part of its makeup. But fear is not always immediately recognizable as fear. Fear can shift and be translated into something that looks very different. For example, anger. If you look behind anger, you'll always find fear. I saw a little puppy at a dog training class that I attended with our with our dog, and there was all the puppies were running around playing, and then a new one came in whose behavior was clearly dysfunctional. You could see how aggression and fear go together. He would always run into a corner, and then if any dog came up to him, he would suddenly become aggressive and try to bite. And you can see, oh, fear and anger, they go together, even in an animal. An animal is not really anger, but something almost like anger. So in everyone there is residual fear, no matter what your thoughts are, even if you're free of thought, it can still be there, and that is part of the stored up old emotion of fear. Then there is the fear that is created by certain types of thinking, any type of future thinking, my life situation or my problematic situation, even one thought coming into your head about your problematic future. And if anybody's future is not problematic, I'd like to get to know that person. And very uncertain. Anything could happen to me. So, of course, when you project yourself into future, you immediately meet the uncertainty, the complete uncertainty. You could lose something very important to you, including your body. So, new fear is created through not being present, because in the present moment, there's usually nothing to fear. You can usually check that for yourself. most fear is created through leaving the present moment mentally, projecting yourself into a possible future, which doesn't look good. Hope is the opposite of that. You project a future where things are going to get better. And then a hope thought can quickly shift into maybe it's not going to work out. And so you can experience almost the same thought that gives you hope for a moment while you lie in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then, yeah, that'll get better, that'll happen. And then it shifts, it flips. Oh, maybe it won't happen. I won't get that. And fear immediately comes. The gap between, I believe it was Fritz Perls, the founder of Gestalt Therapy, who said, anxiety is in the gap between now and then. Of course, that is the... So we have the... That's a mind-created gap. And the mind, which is compulsion to move into the future, creates a continuous undercurrent of fear. It tries to control the future. It can't. And so it's fearful. It tries to cope with the future. An imagined situation, you can't. You don't have the resource to cope with the future. Nobody does, because it doesn't even exist. So life does not give you the resource to cope with the future, the strength, or whatever knowledge you need, the insight, the realization, the strength, the energy. Future doesn't exist, so you can't cope with it. And people have piled up in their mind a sequence of things that are problematic, could go wrong, might not happen, should happen, but might add so. And then, of course, you can't cope with the future, it doesn't exist. You can always cope with this moment. This moment is always simple. If it's an emergency, it's very likely you don't even have time for fear. If it's an emergency, you will be forced into presence. And you will do something without needing to think. Something else takes over. Some people have experienced that when accidents were about to happen and suddenly an inner shift occurred. All fear was there initially, and then suddenly, just as it was about to happen, all fear left them. There were many reports, and there was a sense of peace and intense aliveness. And out of that, if action was possible, action came. So are you adding to the residual fear that is still in you? That's question one. Am I adding to the fear by identifying with some kind of thought about the future? Or it could be a thought about somebody else that I feel close to and whose actions and whose life I cannot control, who may be getting into all kinds of impossible situations. It could be a child, a grown-up child, or a teenage child. Could be anybody else close to you who are, you don't know where they are and what they're doing. You know they're engaged in dangerous activities. And so many parents have the need to control the lives of their children. They want to protect them from possible harm. And even after they're grown up, they still want to, they get extremely worried about what they're into. And yet, what they want to spare them, suffering. And now, if you could truly do that, if you were omnipotent, and you could spare your child or the grown-up child suffering, there would be no development in the child whatsoever. Up to a point, the deepening in a human being happens through suffering. The arising of consciousness happens through suffering, through making mistakes. The most unprofitable life would be a life in which no mistakes were made. it's impossible, but only theoretically possible. So suffering is the spiritual teacher until you reach the point where you are now, where you suddenly realize, I don't need suffering anymore, because you choose presence. Up to that point, you have to be pushed into presence by life, which is consciousness, through suffering. Most of it is self-created. That's how it works. You can help, of course, as much as you can, you help. If you're a very young child, you have to prevent from getting too close to the window or whatever it is, all those things, practical things. But beyond the practical, you have to allow other humans to make mistakes, to do what they feel is right to do, even if you know very well this is wrong and will lead to suffering. Instead of lying awake all night worrying about what they are doing, there's nothing you can do.